Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Years old. I'm working hard to catch Larry and Silver, build silver hairs in the. I don't know if I will. But I'm working hard, man, to make up for lost ground. So today is the 7th. Oh, I just lied. That'd be my 42nd anniversary week from today.
Oh.
And then 7, 8, 9 days. Then I'll catch you, Larry. Then I'll catch you, Joe. I'm coming hard, man.
Bearing okay, you really got. I know. I'm nowhere near where Larry is, but you know. But today is Jamie and ours 45th anniversary.
Oh,
congratulations, Silver!
Thank you.
Hey, Silver,
you should be somewhere and listening somewhere.
I haven't seen Silver, here's what I always tell everybody, and you can probably relate to this. I say it's our 90th. 45 for her and 45 for me. Right?
There you go. Yeah. Thank you, sir. I'll use that one.
Because we're on parallel paths for sure. But for some, those years don't necessarily fold in together. Hey, Mike, throw that up on the screen you got up there right now. This is I love coming in here. Thanks for all of you for joining us. And I don't know if you guys have been noticing. Man, our numbers are boom, something going on. And I want to say this, not from a selfish standpoint. I said it yesterday. I want to say it again. Folks, just keep sharing this. Just keep sharing. The wisdom that is in this queue is unbelievable. And keep sharing it with others. Even if they tell you no, just keep sharing it with them. I can tell you some amazing stories that I found out from people who are listening to the show and being red-pilled. And it's a tough one, man. It's a tough pill to swallow. I had a conversation, I don't know, a couple of days ago, whatever, and somebody said, listen, folks, it's about paradigms. You say, well, what's a paradigm? What's a paradigm? Well, a paradigm is a, lack of a better, it's a form through which you're viewing things. A paradigm is a point of view, for lack of a better. It's how you see things. If you see things black and white, if you see it as Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, racial, whatever, if that's your paradigm through which you're viewing everything, then you're hindered. And what we need to do more than anything in America today is we need a paradigm shift. Now, we call it red pilling, right? Being red-pilled. In other words, I used to look at it this way. Now I don't look at it that way anymore. Now I see the bigger picture. And part of what we try to do here is to try to change your paradigm to move to a larger picture and then to a larger picture. Because there's no, the Bible says that silly women ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Never, we're not, it's a journey, boys and girls. And it's all about, okay, I'll say it, Lord. It's all about sometimes we need a shift in our theology. Sometimes we do.
Coach.
And you know, you say, well, Coach, I've been taught this since I was 10 years old. Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? It explains a lot. That's why we have so many different denominations, because you've been taught that for 30 years. And you, the first thing you want to know when you meet somebody, you ask them, where do you go to church? Because you're trying to figure out what their doctrine is. You're trying to figure out their paradigm. What they're looking through. And we are here trying to smash paradigms or at least open your eyes, red pill you to things that you have not considered. And that's why I thank God y'all come in here every day. And I know we disagree in a lot of areas. And that is the problem, folks. If people say, I got it right here. Let me pick this thing up. I got the Bible right here on my desk. People say the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But yet they disagree on doctrine and theology and theological perspective. And they have a different paradigm view of this Bible. They have a different. Can I show you? Hey, I see Randy's up on my screen, so I'm just going to say this to Randy. I was on the. Hey, Mike, pull up 2 Thessalonians, because I'm going to crack a little paradigm here on you. Now, I'm not telling you if I know that I'm right, but I know this. I was on David Heavener last night. God bless David Heavener, the last evangelist, and he gave us some time last night, and he was talking about one of the questions he asked was about the Antichrist. And I told him about as plainly as I could, I really don't care. I really don't care. It's an Antichrist spirit. It's an spirit of Antichrist. Is it going to be an actual Antichrist? Let me say it again. I really don't care. I'm sorry. That's my paradigm. I really don't care. Because whether or not there's an Antichrist coming or not, there really isn't a whole lot I can do about it, friends. There isn't a whole lot I can do about it. But I can do something about an Antichrist spirit. Those aren't the same things. And we were having a discussion, and Pastor Mike Spaulding's in it, and he was in the discussion yesterday with David Heavener, and I really respect Pastor Mike, and I believe he's a good man. He's a good man. And he believes what he believes, but he's not closed-minded about it. But we were in David Heavener asked us about the 2 Thessalonians, and I got punched in the face. And I didn't say anything last night because I wasn't sure of it. But the Holy Spirit punched me twice. Punched me once about it, and I looked down. If you could go back and replay it, you would be able to see me look down at my Bible. I was listening. I wasn't talking. And then I looked back up, and the Holy Spirit punched me again, and I looked down. I want to take you to 2 Thessalonians because I want to ask you something. So, Mike, go to chapter 2. I'm sorry. Chapter 2. Now, we beseech ye. Listen, this is just a little nugget, okay? This is just a little opportunity for a paradigm shift. Again, my perspective, I couldn't care less about the Antichrist. I couldn't care less. The man of perdition, I couldn't care less. Is he here? I don't care. I don't care. You understand? I don't care. I don't care. Doesn't have anything to do with me, the way I live my life, and how I'm going to live out my next however many years. The man, the physical, literal Antichrist, we'll say it again, I couldn't care less. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, that word at hand there means imminent, means can come at any moment. Imminency, all right? He said, don't be shaken, don't be troubled, don't let the spirit trouble you, don't let anybody's words. See, it doesn't say the word, it says by word, nor letter. For what other people are saying, don't be troubled. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. So evidently we're able to be deceived. For that day shall not come. What day? What day? Well, we assume what he's talking about. So that day's not going to come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above God, above all that is called God, with his worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Are you ready for your paradigm to be shaken? You ready? Because this is where the Holy Spirit punched me twice. And I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. Let me ask you something, folks. What's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Can somebody tell me what's the temple of the Holy Spirit?
We are the temple of the Holy Spirit,
right?
Our bodies.
We are our bodies. Okay, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. Look at this. Again, I got punched in the chest. I've never seen this ever before. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Who's the temple of God? What's the temple of God?
That's good, Coach.
What's the temple of God? It's us. We're the temple of God, right? We are. And what does he do when he sits in the temple of God? He convinced that temple, me, that I am God. Do you see it?
Yep.
Do you see it?
Amen. Amen, huh? Coach.
That's the deception, see? That's the deception. When this spirit of Antichrist comes, he convinces us. He comes and dwells inside our temple, rejects God. He's Antichrist, and he convinces us that we are God. Sitting where? In God's temple. Us! Just me.
Yeah.
Is that a heavenly temple? Are we talking about a heavenly temple?
This is Far Eastern religion. This is how they worship. This is where they get their energy.
Uh-huh.
And that's coming and creeping right in, Coach. You're dead on here.
Amen. Listen, I'm just reading the word, right? So remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Told you what? There's going to be a falling away, that men are going to turn away from everything. They're going to turn away from, read Romans 1, they're going to turn away from all that stuff. And what are they going to do? They're going to let God, they're going to boot God out of his temple, your body, and they're going to bring this Antichrist
Amen.
In. And this Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to dwell inside of us, right? He said, I told you that. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. What? That man inside of you who's occupying the temple of God, you. And then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the coming brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after... shall destroy the brightness coming. Even him who's coming is after the workings of Satan with all powers and lying signs and lying wonders with all deceivables of unrighteousness in them. Is this the unregenerated man or not, see, that we're talking about here? A man who has rejected God and accepted the delusion that he is God. My body, my choice, my life, my mind, my. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, is there a real physical Antichrist coming? I don't care. I'm having enough trouble just with the ones already fighting to try to get inside of me. Are you with me?
Absolutely. Acts 7:48, no longer a temple made with hands. That's because God has created. We are that temple. The my is the same as Satan himself saying, I.
Amen, brother.
The error, Coach, for this was always there in verse 7. People flip that one part of that verse. Is the Holy Spirit has to be taken out of the way. That's out of context, Coach. Mm-hmm. Paul isn't even talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about he's talking about the one who's coming is after the working of Satan. That's who the he is in verse 7.
Amen. Amen. And he's got to be taken out of the way. Even him who's after lying and with all deceit. Go to verse 11, Mike. I got to make a point here. Hey, this is just a paradigm. I'm not telling you thus saith the Lord. Just read it for yourself. Right? And what happens for this cause? What cause? Cause that we've let that Antichrist spirit man inside of us in the temple of God, where God himself is supposed to be staying, we've let this other guy in. And because we've let this other guy in, God's going to send a strong delusion. Don't you see how this connects? That they all should believe a lie. Who? All who? Well, those got this Antichrist guy inside of him. Oh, my goodness. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. And so,
Coach, what happens when you tear down one little premise? What happens, Coach? Then you realize, you know what? I built a bunch of other things on top of this, and now I better go check them. Coach, listen, the paradigm shift is we all need it when we're in wrong. I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I'm just saying, if we're not going to be honest with ourselves, when we see truth and we have to say, oh, my gosh, I was wrong, we have to shift. We have to make a shift. I'm not telling anybody to say you're wrong. Just study it out and go back and study things out for yourself.
You want to believe a theology or whatever you want to call it, if it's not true, do you understand this, please? Every one of you right now, are looking at what I'm talking to you about from a paradigm, from a belief system that you have been ingrained with for years and years and years. And it feels uncomfortable to think that you might have been looking at it wrong.
Hey, Coach Mark, Randy just hit something that I taught the very first time you put me on stage, and that's about what happens when you believe. And if you don't recognize this, you won't do it. But if you don't go back and correct those thoughts based on what you thought you believed, based on the falsehood, if you don't do that, you don't believe. You believe, it changes your brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. It rewrites things. You change. The physiology of you changes. So if you don't believe, you're not going back and recorrecting those things, the people you've wronged. It's a stack of knowledge. It's painful to do that. It's taxing to unlearn.
Well, Mark, it's because... Remember, hang on, I'm sorry. Remember, it says this, what? That we rejected the truth. We are believing things that aren't true, although we believe they're true, and they're hard for us to admit. That was wrong. I was wrong. Go, Larry.
Yeah, Mark, what a mic drop moment. I tell you, it's in the scripture. Hey, if you chase the devil out and don't replace where he was at was, with good stuff, says he's going to come back and bring seven of his buddies with him. And that's exactly what you're talking about. When you've had a paradigm event happen, when something has made you change the way you look at things, you have an obligation to go back and look at everything else that you thought you knew.
That's
you
right,
have an
Larry.
Obligation to examine every sermon that you can remember you heard and place that sermon against the truth of what the Word of God has to say, and you have an obligation to make that cleansing. You have an obligation to put something new in that paradigm holder.
The real point is, do you allow your will to do it? You got to tell yourself to do it, and you got to go back and do it. Those who don't, either one, don't believe, or two, they don't have truth in them. They don't want to know.
Okay, so Mark, here's another issue. This paradigm that we're talking about, folks, causes you to hear things that were not said. Causes you to interpret something that was not said.
Amen.
I came across a situation yesterday where I got some information about, how do I say this in a nice way? Folks, listen. I never said all Democrats are evil. Never. I don't believe that. So I would never have said that. I would never have said that. I would never have said all Democrats are evil any more than I would have said all Republicans are righteous. I would never, ever have said that. But if you are trapped in a Republican-Democrat paradigm, you need set free. If you're trapped in a conservative-liberal paradigm, you need set free. One of the things that we're battling against is that very mindset. Paul said what? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to the paradigms of the world, but renew your mind. So, you know, I used to think that way, but I don't think that way anymore. I'm going to say this. There are many, 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 many. I'm going to say this. If you voted for Joe Biden and you call yourself a Christian, you're greatly deceived. Greatly deceived. You could be a wonderful person, but you're deceived. Why are you deceived? Because of your paradigm. Because we just read in Thessalonians. You're deceived. You filter things through that mindset that you already have. You're not a bad person. You're deceived. If you see everything through the conservative Republican spectrum, you're deceived. You're not seeing the whole picture. You don't understand it. And all of us need to begin to self-identify these strongholds, these paradigm of strongholds that keeps us trapped in this bad theology that we have, this bad paradigm thinking, this mind trap that we're in. We got to break out of it, folks. We've got to break out of it. As I said, and it says in 2 Timothy, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're learning all kinds of stuff, but we're learning it from a conservative Republican. I'm learning it from Hannity. I'm learning it from Limbo. I'm learning it always over here, over here, over here, over. And all that's my paradigm, right?
Amen, Coach. Amen.
This is really good, by the way. This is from the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. Understand this, folks, that the Antichrist first takes up residence inside you, his temple. That's where it takes it up first.
Amen.
That's where he takes up residence. I couldn't care less about the man of perdition coming. Hey, there are times I was the man of perdition. You know what I'm talking about? I was the worst enemy of the cross. Individual men sometimes are that, right? It's the spirit of Antichrist. It says the spirit of is already at work. It's already at work. So please don't get our eyes focused on the Antichrist. He's already birthing children right in front of us. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, we're all based on truth. Listen, everybody in here, their foundation is Jesus Christ. We all got that. Now look, we're going to start climbing, Coach, as we grow in Christ. We're all growing, okay? And when you hear truth, that doesn't mean you're growing. You have to receive truth. And then it becomes you, and you grow, and you go up one step and a stone. You're just taking a step up a stairway, Coach. Truth is progressive. I mean, we have to get this. And if we just stop, if our filter that we have on and just says, well, I can't go past that, take off the filter.
That's right.
There's the paradigm shift, Coach, is when we take those filters off.
That's right.
We start hearing and we listening. We're going, wow, I gotta check that out.
Hey, it's Randy.
About receiving truth, Coach. And
yeah, Randy, you had a mat dropped right there too. Jesus told us about it.
Amen. He said,
man, you hear something and you don't act on it. Guess what? It's like building a house on the sand. It says, but if you hear and follow through, then you're building on a strong foundation. You know, exactly the same thing what you just said.
Coach, we know that there's a spirit of Antichrist because John teaches that in 1 John. We know mm-hmm. that. To say that there's a person, it's maybe, I mean, I don't believe that, Coach, for myself, but others do. But I don't see enough scripture to prove it's a man. I believe it's the spirit of Antichrist, just what John teaches.
It doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, really, it doesn't. You're
because
right,
I'm already being deceived by that spirit. Whether it's an actual guy or not, that spirit is clearly deceiving many, many people in the world, including me sometimes, right? All
hey,
of
Coach?
Us are being deceived by it. Yes.
Hey, Coach, so here's just kind of a laity, you know, a visual. My first message this year was exactly this. It was talking about adjusting our vision. I see you wear glasses and I wear glasses. Every 2 years, you go to an optometrist to get your vision adjusted, just a little bit, right? It gives you better vision to be able to see, even with eyes you think you can see with. Now they've got these glasses out there. People are colorblind. They can't see. They put these glasses on, and all of a sudden, effective in which we are looking through. This is the perspective, and I'm telling you, before there was an idea of COVID, this was my first message. I said, you need to get before the Lord and have your spiritual eyes adjusted. Now, as the Antichrist,
amen.
That means anti-anointing. That's exactly what that means. Christ means the anointed one. Jeremiah 17:9. It goes back to the self. The heart is wicked and deceitful, and who knows it? Let me tell you what, you can't convince a deceited, wicked person who's bent in their mind until they get
amen.
God's revelation and a different perspective and a different vision. Therefore, we set up
not mutual
and ourself that we
become exclusive. They're mutually explanatory. We expand our knowledge. We don't replace our knowledge.
Amen. Well said, Jack. And so here I am with a paradigm shift, right? How many now people in America are being trained to do this? That's a paradigm shift, folks.
Millions.
That's a paradigm shift, right? Now you're looking through fear. Whether you realize it or not, somebody has changed you. And now you're looking. You would have never done this 3 years ago. You would have never done it. 2 years ago, ever would you have done this? But somebody, somehow, hey, that's the spirit of Antichrist.
It's what are they most afraid of, though, Coach?
It's against truth.
They're afraid of dying. Their self-preservated spirit right there. My wife worked the hospital 2 days ago, and guess what, Coach? This is flu season. Guess how many people had the flu in the hospital? Zero. Not one person. How do you explain that?
So anyway, I don't want to get bogged down on this, but I think this is critically important. And hey, listen. I often think about guys who've been to war, guys who went to Vietnam, the Gulf War, who actually saw men die or maybe caused men to die.
Afghanistan, represent, we're up, Iraq, Saddam Hussein.
Or shot people, right? I'm going to tell you something. They have a different paradigm than I have. When they look at the world, they see it differently, right? They do. Now, that doesn't make me wrong or them wrong. It changes perspective. And sadly, those of us in the body of Christ are closed-minded. Now, I'm closed-minded. But we latch onto a theology like an old dog latches onto a bone. And we will not let go, no matter how much somebody tells you, get that bone out of your mouth. I got some hamburger here for you. No matter how, we want to just keep chewing on that bone. And I'm not here. I'm not criticizing anybody for anything that they believe. God bless you that you have a strong belief. I'm not criticizing you. But I hate to tell you this. You might be wrong. No matter how much you believe it, you could be wrong. You could be wrong. No matter how earnestly and honestly you believe it, you could be wrong. And so we hey, need coach? To get, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Psychology 101, which is voodoo anyway, says that the first time you hear a new concept, whether you're 2 years old or 50 years old, it becomes part of you. By the time you hear the same thing three times, if you haven't heard a contrary argument, it becomes part of your core belief
That's
system.
Right. That's right. I never heard that before. Where did you hear that? I never heard that before, right?
But that's how look at the paradigm that shifted in our fear factor. How did they convince people that we're all going to die from COVID? They had a really strong psychological warfare plan in order to be able to accomplish that, because that was almost an impossible task.
Coach, amen.
Ask yourself this question. Just sit there and ponder. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind can conceive what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Let's just go down memory lane for yourself and say, when you first got saved, is this where you saw yourself? But because you love God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, he takes you to places that you've never seen before. But because you love God, you allow the Holy Spirit to be the filter on what you do allow in your mind and what you do allow to set up and become your theology, eschatology, and ecclesiologies. So, brother, just think about when you first got saved, what were your perspectives and your plans to be as a Christian? But because you loved him and you yielded to his Holy Spirit leading, look where you are now.
Amen, man. Amen.
Hey, Coach, I talk to people all the time on this mass thing. I look for ones that just look at me, and if they'll meet my eyes, I talk to them. And, Coach, I tell them the truth. Now, some of them just say, oh, you're crazy, and they walk away. But I've helped so many people that didn't. No one has told them the truth, and it's just what Jack said. They get to think about that knowledge, and then all of a sudden they realize, God, I'm not going to wear this mask the rest of my life, but I guess I am. And they decide right there. I've seen people just say, you know what? I'm going to take it off. And then it becomes truth to them. Knowledge is good, but knowledge is not truth. Knowledge gets us to the truth.
That's right. That's
so
right.
We have to, when truth hits us, we make a decision. And I've helped people so many times just by speaking the truth, because nobody else has told them. That's our job.
So on the screen is a prayer for putting on a mask. This is what we're dealing with, folks. This is, look. Huh? So this guy is, by the way, I'm an ordained minister. Some of you in the queue are as well. I would never, ever, 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 ever call myself reverend. Okay? I just would never do it.
pussy ass bitch. Pussy ass faggot with a
Go, you know what to do. A prayer for putting on a face mask by Reverend Richard Bott, moderator, the Presbyterian Church of Canada. Creator God, as I prepare to go into the world, help me to see the sacramental nature of wearing this cloth. Let it be a tangible and visible way of living love for my neighbors as I love myself. Christ Jesus, since my lips will be covered, uncover my heart, that people would see my smile and the crinkles around my eyes. And since my voice may be muffled, help me to speak clearly, not only with my words, but with my actions. Holy Spirit, as the elastic touches my ears, remind me to listen carefully and caringly to all those I meet. May this simple piece of cloth be a shield and a banner, and may each breath that it holds be filled with your love. In your name and in that love, I pray. Amen.
My wife and I just vomited.
That's what we're dealing with, right? By the way, is somebody help me out? Is that piece of cloth supposed to be our shield and banner? Is that piece of cloth supposed to be our shield and banner? Coming from a reverend? No,
it's a slave muzzle. That's all it is,
Coach.
Yeah,
it's a veil.
It's a veil, Joseph.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through the end. It's just about as clear as it gets.
It is.
Concerning something like this.
And Michael, Mike Heath, please click on mandating masks is ineffective, unnecessary. I'm not going to go over and over and over this. This is a tremendous
baby birthday.
This is a tremendous PDF. It's 43 pages. Mike, can you somehow put that in the chat? So people can download it. I'm not going to go through it. Masks are ineffective, unnecessary, and harmful. This is written by Dr. Meehan. I don't know anything about him. But this is 42 pages of truth about masks. Okay? And I'm not going to take the time to go through it. But listen, do you want to go through what paradigm do you want to go through? Huh? Which paradigm do you want to go through? And if you want to go around and you want to wear a mask because it makes people feel good, then you go ahead and do that.
Hey, Coach.
But here are the facts, folks. Here they are.
Why do people put their heads in the sand? Why do they do it? They know that they know truth, right? They don't want to process it. They don't want to make the changes.
La 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 la. Right, la 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 la. They don't want to hear it.
Hey, everybody, think about that. That's what you're up against when you're sharing the gospel. Okay, why do people do it?
Why do they? That's right. Because it's a paradigm. It's a paradigm shift, right? Paradigm. So I don't want to go down through this. I put it in the chat. I don't know, Jared, Mike. Is there a way to put this on our homepage or somewhere where more people can see it? Because it's 43 pages. And when you get through reading the 43 pages, you're going to say, why did I ever use one of those?
We'll put it in the show notes for today's show.
Okay. Okay. That'll be good. That'll be good.
On the website.
So people can get. Okay, cool.
Well, Dave.
Yeah, Chad.
I was going to mention that, you know, when we talk about the masks, and they said that, well, they do work.
Throat flush, all of you.
Hey. Okay, well, I was going to say something. They do work, but see, they're not working for the desired, or what we think in our minds as as our protection. They're working to harm us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And so you have to understand what their narrative is. When Hillary Clinton gets up there and says, it's for the children, it's not for the wholesomeness that we think. It's for so that they can have it there and remove their faces.
That's right. It is for the children. That's right. It is for the children, but that's a different paradigm, isn't it, Chad? They're looking at, when they say for the children, we believe one thing, they believe something else. They do it all the time.
Because it's open for interpretation.
Yeah.
And wherever your heart is, that's the interpretation you'll get.
That's the paradigm, yes, sir. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
Yeah, the problem is though, whoever they is, keep reinforcing the need for masks because they keep talking about the numbers are jumping, more people are getting affected, we've got to close things down. So they keep the narrative up.
Right. So we have to recognize that, right? We have to recognize that narrative. Yeah.
Coach, yesterday you talked about critical thinking, about logic. There's no more of that in the world. Children aren't being taught this.
No.
And you mentioned something earlier. I don't know if everyone realizes that COVID-19 is so amazingly powerful. There's been no flu season for 2 years.
Hmm.
Where's the critical thinking? Where's flu season?
What's great also, Mark, is there's been no natural causes death.
It totally wiped out old age, guys. Come on. There is no more death by old age. Where's critical thinking? Right?
No how more death, no more cancer.
How can we be so misled? Where's COV-2A20? Where's 20? They're not even going to say that COVID-19 mutated into the COVID-20 because COVID-19 is a marketing symbol now.
Yeah. Amen.
It's got nothing to do with 18 years of the coronavirus changing. Whoop, all of a sudden it don't change anymore. It stays 19. Where's flu season? What is flu season if they're not in that hospital someone talked about? Is that psychological?
Flu season is COVID, right? Flu season is COVID.
Mark, it's like a packed holiday.
Hey, gentlemen. Yes. Yesterday, my wife's brother-in-law passed. He was 82 years old. He had liver failure and also other causes. Guess what was on his sheet?
COVID.
We don't have to guess, right? We don't have to.
Hey, guys, my mother-in-law is 91. She got COVID. She's fine. She's well. My father-in-law is almost 90. He got COVID. He's almost well. My whole family, it went through all of us nearly, and we're all well. Some of us was a little bit harder than others, but everybody got well. Guess what? Now we have immunity. We're stronger. Our race is stronger. It's natural law. When you look at it through the other lens, it dumbs you. It goes the other direction.
So let me give you a paradigm, folks. There's another wave of COVID coming. And the next wave of COVID is coming simply because they don't want us assembling together again. They don't want it. If we get together and we talk about what's going on in America right now, they're going to lose. See, they're going to lose. So they're going to say there's a second wave. You got to hunker down again at this most critical time in American history. They're going to tell us to isolate ourselves again. COVID came to impact the election. That's why COVID came. That's why it came in.
I agree 100%.
To destroy America.
Hey, 3 years ago, Bill Gates planned this all out.
Yep.
Y'all know about that. Why did he do it? Now you know. This was a plan for 4 years.
And so the last thing they want us to do is to get together again and discuss it and figure out a way to get around it. That's why they banned people on Facebook and YouTube. It's an information war. Alex Jones was right. It's an info war.
Again, why did all those CEOs quit so conveniently before COVID? Why? I mean, these things we talked about through the whole ordeal, right? You can look back and say, yeah, now I want you to look ahead. Look ahead using this data, right?
Right. We're not good at that, though, are we, Mark? We're not real good at looking ahead. Hey,
the new fear, Coach, the new fear is this. I get people say, stop, every day they see my Trump sign in my truck, and they, hey, I like your, I'm a Trumper. I said, good. They say, are we going to win? And I'm going, what? What are you talking? Don't concede. The new fear, Coach, is the people are afraid we're not going to win. It's putting fear in them, and they're saying, oh, well, we can't. You can't go there, Coach. Just don't concede to the lie. But we have people jumping ship, and they're fearful we're going to lose. Well, that's fear. They're in fear, Coach. Fear is a killer.
That's right. Lies and deception, man. It's the way the enemy operates. Hey, Mike, real quick, bring up Bobby Lee. I mean, don't bring in my Bobby Lee's here. Bobby Lee, I just want to acknowledge this so some of you maybe aren't aware of this. Bobby Lee made 27 videos yesterday here at my house. 27 short videos. And he posted all of them on his website, which Mike's going to pull up here. YouTube.
I wonder if that guy's a Biden voter.
Sure he is. See, listen, that guy's trying to pipe in. There and anybody gives a damn what he says, so he has to come on our show and try to act like he's important.
Brother. He's
so there it is. Bobby's webpage is Mideast Salt and Light Brigade. Now, he made 27 videos yesterday. Some of them are 2 minutes. Some of them are 5 minutes. I mean, just a lot. So I just want to acknowledge that you guys would go there, subscribe, and support what Bobby's doing, because I'm telling you, he was down in Joe Biden's basement for a long time yesterday, putting all these together. And I thank God that Bobby's there and that he's recording and getting us an archive of where we've been and what we've been doing. And he always catches it from a good angle, does really, really good stuff. So if you would, maybe Mikey can even put that in the chat. Folks, go there and, yeah, and subscribe to
Black Dicks up your ass.
That's awesome stuff. He brings to the body, Coach. What Bobby brings to the body is just another part of the body of Christ jointly fitted together, ministering one unto the other. He does incredible work. And I had to overtalk that idiot.
Yes, absolutely, Bobby. Thank you so much.
Yep, we do. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Hey, can I ask Hunter Biden to stop calling in?
Can you stop? Well,
I think that's Hunter Biden.
Yeah, Mike's on top. It is what it is. It's, you know,
of course.
It is what it is. It's where we are.
Come on, Coach. Bring truth.
So I'm going to keep doing it, man. Okay, let me see. Next thing, Coach, what do you want to bring up here? Okay, let's do this, Mike. Let's go to the First Amendment. First Amendment. Because I want to take you guys through this and understand this, that there has been a slow, long march through the Bill of Rights. And if we were to take the time to go back, and I could break them all down for you. But we're at the end game. Because if they are able to overthrow the First Amendment.
Right.
That's it, right? That's it.
This guy is still in there.
Yeah, well, he's going to be in there. What are we going to do? Huh? What are we going to do? He's an infield.
You're overthrowing the First Amendment. The only thing you have left is the Second.
The Second Amendment protects the First, does it not? Right? But I want to go down this. I felt led by the Lord to take you through this again so that we would understand exactly what's going on. And there it is. It says, the First Amendment guarantees freedoms concerning religion, expression, assembly, and the right to petition. Now, let me call you a timeout. Can somebody tell me one of those freedoms that's not under assault? And remember, these are God-ordained. These rights come to us from God, folks. These are not government. The First Amendment to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, are not rights granted to us by the government. These are restrictions on the government. All right, let me take you through this again so that we understand exactly what's going on. Go to the First Amendment, Mike.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
The First Amendment, it's so important to understand that it is a restriction on Congress, the federal government Congress. It is not a restriction on the states. It is not a restriction on private business. It has been applied to the states. It has been applied to private
Black business. Lives.
But the Constitution doesn't make it.
That's right. State. So look at an amendment, because words have meanings, right? Congress shall make no law. That's pretty simple. Why don't they say courts shall make no law? Or states shall make no law? Or the Supreme Court shall make no law? It's very, very simple. Because they don't make laws. Congress makes the laws. Hey, folks, where you are sitting right now, here in the state of Ohio, when our governor tells us what he's trying to do, he's trying to lock us back down. When our governor tells us that we cannot gather for Thanksgiving, can somebody point to the authority that he has to do that?
He has no authority. He's a lawbreaker.
He's a lawbreaker. So we're not the lawbreakers. Who makes laws? Listen,
when the governor of Pennsylvania decides that they're going to give, because of COVID, they're going to give the citizens of Pennsylvania 3 extra days to vote. Well, that might be really, really magnanimous of him. He might be a really, really loving, caring guy. There's only one problem. What is that problem? What's the problem?
He doesn't have the authority to do that.
No matter how much we like him,
to do that at all.
He has no authority to do that. Now, hang on. So if the governor of Pennsylvania or a court in Pennsylvania, whoever you want to, says, okay, here in Pennsylvania, we're going to give our voters 8 more days to get their ballots in, 8 more days. Do you understand it violates your rights? Do you understand that your rights have now been canceled? Do you understand that? That when someone has an extended period of time to do something that you have a limited period of time to do, such as voting, folks, it robs from you. So when in the state of Pennsylvania, there's only one way they can extend the voting deadline. Does anybody know what that is?
The legislation.
Yes, the legislature is the only one who can do it. They're the a governor can't do it. A health department director can't do it. They can't do it. Congress shall make no law. Why? Because Congress makes laws. Why is that important? Because we elect our representatives to represent us and make laws. We didn't elect a health director, Dr. Fauci, to tell us what we didn't do it. We got to get this and understand the importance of it. So what were those laws? Respecting an establishment of a religion, wearing a face mask, I don't care what you say, is a violation of my freedom of religion. I don't want to wear it. I'm not going to wear it. That's, huh? Congress shall make no law. If Congress can't make a law, governor can't, court can't, respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. See, those two go together. You can't establish one and you can't stop somebody. They cannot. When I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, when I went in deposition, went into the court, I said, listen, you're violating my free exercise. The fact that I want to pray with our football guys doesn't, if they don't want to pray, they can't make me not pray because they don't want to. It's free exercise. They can choose to pray or not choose to pray. Free exercise of religion. Free exercise. Congress shall make no law. Folks, prayer before football games is legal. Public prayer is legal. Public expression of faith is legal. Why? It's free exercise of your faith. And I'm going to really blow you away right now because I'm going to tell you something. If it violates your conscience to pay one tax dollar to support abortion, you don't have to pay it. Why? Because it's a violation of the free exercise of your faith. Anybody want to argue with me on that one? Anybody want to argue with me? Some 17th Amendment doesn't trump the first, folks. Sorry. Doesn't work that way. But we don't want to believe it. So we're cowardly. We don't want to take on that fight. And because we don't take on that fight, we end up taking our tax dollars to promote everything we don't believe in. When the free exercise of my faith said they can't do that. My faith says I can't. It is hard. Yeah.
It's hard. How many are doing it, coach?
All of us are, right? Okay, let me move on. So they can't do that. They can't prohibit the free exercise of your faith. They can't abridge your freedom of speech. Abridge. Hey, Mike, go to Webster real quick here, if we could. Mr. Webster, what does it mean to abridge? Because, see, we lose sight of words. Words have meaning. We forget what they mean. What does it mean to abridge? Abridge. 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 To abridge means to make shorter, to lessen, to diminish, to deprive, to cut off, right? So Congress shall make no law regarding establishment of religion, right? Go back to the First Amendment, Mike. And to lessen, to diminish, to cut off, or prohibit free exercise, or abridging the freedom of speech. They can't make any laws taking away, cutting off your right to free expression. They can't do it. Courts can't do it. Congress can't do it. There are no restrictions on your freedom of speech or of the press. Hey, you may want to argue with this all you want to. This is the press. What we're doing right here is the press. It is the press. The press is dissemination of information. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twatter, Twitter, Twopper, Trooper, they'll all be thrown in jail. They cannot abridge my freedom of speech. They can't. They can't do it. Or the right of the people is peaceably to assemble. What if we want to assemble on Zoom or Google Hangouts? Can Congress make a law against it? No, no. Or to petition the government for a redress of our grievances. That's the one under attack now, boys and girls. That's the one right now. That's what we're fighting for. And as Jack said, it's a miracle to understand the Second Amendment is our protection of the First. And unfortunately, they are leading us that way. Somebody come on in. Say, Coach, that was good. I know it was. I know it was. But you see, we've lost it. We think government, folks, this is a restriction on government. Government does not grant rights. Congress shall make no law. There it is. There it is. Who shall make no law? Congress. Period. It's a restriction on Congress. It's not a restriction on me. Okay? The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia. Can you get that up there real quick, Mike? I don't know if you can. A well-regulated militia being necessary. Being necessary. A well-regulated militia being necessary. Being not optional. Not being optional. Being necessary for the security of a free state. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Mike, go to Webby. Go to Mr. Webster. What's infringed mean? Infringed. And see, they got us afraid of guns.
What's well-regulated mean, Coach?
Well, that's true, too. Broken, violated, transgressed. To infringe is to break or violate or transgress. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be messed with. It's so close. See, as soon as they made the first gun law, we should have gone after them with pitchforks and bushes. Yep. The first one. Shall not be infringed. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah. Notice the difference between the First and Second Amendment here. The First Amendment put the restriction on Congress from what they could not do. The Second Amendment has no such restriction. The Second Amendment guarantees a right. The First Amendment restricts Congress. The Second Amendment guarantees a right.
That's right. I'm so clear, man. And so we've let government overstep its bounds. Again, paradigm, right? This is not an issue as to whether guns are safe or not safe, whether guns are evil or not evil. It doesn't have anything to do with that. The truth is it's what they call an inalienable. It says that right for you to defend yourself with a gun is just cannot be taken away any more than your skin can.
Okay,
it can't,
Coach.
It can't be taken away. It's who you are. Yes.
Reasonable gun laws are the same as hyper grace. Reasonable gun laws are hyper grace.
Explain.
We don't want the law. We can't have the law. That law has been done away with. We got to have grace. So we got to have reasonable gun laws.
Well, I got you. Yeah, I got you.
Hey, Coach.
Based on whose opinion, right?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Does anyone know what the first inch they took on any of these freedoms, especially, you know, the gun rights? What was the very first thing? I don't know it. I'm asking.
I got it right here, actually, okay. believe it or not. I was
1906, we got rid of the constitutional militia and replaced it with the National Guard, which is why we do not have a well-regulated militia, which necessitated the people to be able and necessary to keep and bear arms. You got to go back and find out what the issue is. The issue is they took away our constitutional militia and unlawfully replaced it with a National Guard.
Yeah. Oh, we got a lot to learn. Hey, Mike, pull up. This is it. Pull it up then, Mike, because I just
Hey, Coach, ignorance of the Bible and ignorance of the word, God's word, is no different than ignorance of the Constitution.
Right.
Both of those are choices that take you to a place where you don't receive the truth.
Thomas Jefferson says, those who choose to be ignorant and free believe for what never was and never will be.
Well, Coach, the paradigm shift with Obama and with many generations prior to, is in order to pave a way to a new future, you have to eliminate and remove the past and replace it. When you were in school, when I was in school, yeah, we were taught civics. There is no civics class in public schools anymore. Therefore, we can make it sound like whatever we want because the students are ignorant to what the Constitution ever said.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, let me throw this one at you. If there was still a well-regulated militia, there would be no Federal Reserve.
Of course, but they don't want a well-regulated militia. We've given it up. Mike, I'm out of time here. Mike, this is it. Folks, it's been on my heart some time. I got up this morning, and I want to end it with this. Listen, if you're watching on YouTube, shame on you. Shame on you. I've told you, go to CoachDaveLive.com because they probably will pull this down because of this next 4 minutes. All right? So if you go there this morning, say, Coach, you're not up on YouTube. I'm warning you. Quit going there. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. We stream there. All right? Go ahead and play this, Mike. This is where we are, folks. This is it right now. This is it right now.
In my life, I've been wondering why. Still, somehow, I believe we always survive. Now, I'm not so sure you're waiting here. One good reason to try. But what more can I say? Left to provide. You think that maybe it's over, only if you want it to be. Are you gonna wait for a sign, your miracle? Stand up and fight. This is it. Make no mistake where you are.
This is it, Mike. That's good enough, Mike. Go ahead and cut it. This is it. This is it. Folks, till it's over, hey, or another. As my buddy old Dave Klontz said, it's time to tighten our belt and earn our meal money. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're off. You're off. Yeah, I was noticing it on my end too.